Call the Hamburg City Council meeting of February 14th, 2017 to order. Let's start with the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any public comment? Anybody else? You know, the idea behind doing those spreadsheets wasn't to reduce the number of people at our meetings, but might be, you know, the chief. Yeah. If you start doing them, then maybe we get rid of you too. All right, agenda review.
I think then everything should be in the paper copy of the agenda.
Anybody else have anything they want to add or take off the consent agenda? I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Seconded. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda.
I have to bring the voices. Sorry.
Scott and
Jason.
Okay.
Aye. Opposed? Agenda approved. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. A motion to consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Okay.
Opposed? Passes. Chief, you're up.
Start off with Rescue 12. That's an old ambulance we have. We've been having issues since about November with that draining power, and we can't find where. Greg was going to look into it. He said the only way would be to tear it all apart. So for the time being, we took all the medical equipment out of it, that truck. Put everything in Rescue 11. It's been a heavy rescue, and we've been responding to rescues with that ever since. We also had some donation money and got a medical bag and an oxygen bag for gas rig and a backup engine. So we took Rescue 12, has been out of service for over a month, but with them two bags instead of two rescue trucks in the past, we've been able to respond with four trucks of medical from. Department felt like Rescue 12, which is the old ambulance, is something we could do without having it included anymore. Before we can do anything with it though, we would need to get it fixed anyway. But I was asking tonight, that permission to go talk to Jerry's transmission, see if they can look into it, if they can find what's drawing. As of right now, a few times we've gone up, the headlights will just be on, the switch is off. We cannot. Jeremy's been there.
That's how I found it. I was like, lights are.
Lights are on, all the switches are off. It makes no sense what's drawing. We asked if we could go there, have them look into finding where the draw is, fixing that, and seeing about what we have to do to take lettering off and what we'd have to do to sell it. That is what you wish about. Which is what our wishes are.
Does it have an aspirin? I'd say that's something that could be probably a pretty easy fix to go from the battery cables, put an aspirin right after the battery someplace under the hood.
Yeah.
And that probably will, you just gotta remember to turn the master on.
Well, all the other trucks have a master.
You don't have a problem with it when it's running, right? Driving.
If we did start it, yeah, it just keeps dying sitting in the station. We had jumper cables on it for a few weeks in November and December until it finally had enough of it. Hopefully putting it on. And even still, the master, that's another truck we have we don't really need.
Well, that's fine. We can get it fixed and you guys clearly don't need it. It's one less we got to maintain.
3-4 years, that's been 80% of our vehicle problems have been coming up in that truck. And basically, it just don't get on. But that's one thing, Master. We're just see what Jerry thought too. If it's something if they deal with this more, maybe it's something they can find.
Council, any other thoughts on it? You can give the green light to the fire department to have it take a look at, and
yeah, I agree with that.
Get to dispose of it after that for solid.
Yeah, we can see. I mean, I can come back a month from now. It's in the back of the station. Really not.
How much lettering that is there that would have to come out with it?
And that's why I don't know if they gotta take all the bulbs out, or if they can just cut the wires, or I don't know what y'all gonna do. Usually, I mean, you see them all in HVAC trucks and that, so I don't know if they can just cut all the wires off in the council, if that's good enough, or I'm not sure. The lettering there isn't too much that has our name on it. I wouldn't think that'd be too bad.
Well, is there suppose you're just gonna go up and get service, so we shouldn't need a motion to do that. It's just general maintenance
on the vehicle, so yeah, and see what we have to do and see what their thoughts are first. Like I said, it's not really in our way right now.
A motion in place?
I don't think we need a motion to have Jerry take a look at it and get the servicing done. If it does come to a point where you get it working and we can start up and that, we're going to look at doing selling it, then yeah, we'll want to form a motion for that.
Right. Okay. Next couple are from a fire board meeting we had. Township fees for 17-18. In the past, we've always gone up $5 a year per unit. Both Northern America and Green Island have held off the last 2 years on raising. We thought we raised last year, we didn't. So we're right now serving the same $150 a unit as the other two departments that share townships as we do. Kind of see what your wishes are, Chris and Jeremy. We were both at that meeting.
Yeah. So one of the things that was discussed at the fire board meeting was talking about per unit charge and how Young America, they kept it for their townships. They have five townships that they deal with. They kept it at the $150 per unit. I did talk to Steve Helgett today too. And it sounds like they're going to do another contract for 19 and 20, and it sounds like they're going to keep it at the 150 mark as well. They don't really see a need to boost it up at this point in time. I think if that's what kind of surrounding areas do, maybe that's something we stay on. I think it also could be a bargaining conversation because of the cost for the next item that's on the list here of the engine that we have coming up here. As well.
Yeah, and typically what we've done is we've just gone off what other surrounding towns have with the township, so we've kind of stayed in the ballpark with other cities, so.
Makes sense.
I don't think we need a motion tonight. No. That fire board, there's a few questions left, so we have kind of left it to all three entities to go back to their boards and discuss. I don't know, is it April 4th or 6th? It's going to be, we're going to do it again.
Yeah, something around that time frame. I think the big question that we'll have at the next fire board meeting will be the fact around the new engine costs and the sharing of the costs, not necessarily the cost of the engine itself, but just if memory serves me correct, it's been divided by a third in the past, but it may not necessarily be that way going forward. There's a lot of discussion at the fire board meeting about using the number of units in each township as being the share of the cost for the new engine. So if just to use round numbers, I think you did some calculations. Like we would end up probably looking at having 50% of the cost, and then the other 50% would be divided between the two. Rough numbers. I mean,
yeah, I think we're 55, yeah. 23 and 22 between the two townships. If we went off
units.
Unit price.
So, I mean, it might be something that we may have some discussing going on at that fire board meeting further is, because as long as I've been on council, I've always been under the impression that everybody was socking away money with the idea that we were all going to be putting a third of it in, regional townships and us. But there's two other entities involved in that as well. And as best we're going to be looking out for our citizens, they're going to be looking out for their constituents as well as far as money's going. So
I don't think there's ever been any equation. I mean, just talking to Jeremy, we couldn't find any. The Panger was split up between the two townships at that time.
Yeah.
Heavy Rescue got split in thirds. There's never been a whole lot of rhyme or reason to how we do it.
So start thinking about what you guys want to do as a council when it comes to that. Like we said, we'll be meeting in April to talk about it as well. And then after April, I think the goal of all of us at the fire board was to come back here and get it put to bed, so that way when we have to start looking for it, Chief's got the green light ready to start looking, and if he finds an opportunity that we know what everybody's on the hook for and know there won't be any surprises or concern going down the road what the funding's going to be.
Yeah.
I think 400,000 is still pretty good, fair number what I've been getting from vendors just from, to replace basically the truck we have with all the same manual controls. Just to swap out that truck we have for today's right around 400,000.
We get two pumpers now, right?
Yep.
So will we have three, or will we be getting rid of one?
The yellow one, the backup one, would be going. But that one last year, the manifold coming off the pump, we blew apart. So that right now is one of our guys welded. He was able to weld housing around the bottom half. We got it to pass pump testing that we need to do for ISO, but even we got to test it, so I wouldn't really push it, use this much.
Put it in service.
So it's technically...
Do you have some kind of price with that? Looking at trading or anything
for that one?
Is it?
We bought
not
that
much of anything. Yeah.
Were you on? We bought that yet?
That's operating.
10-12 years ago, we got that. I think it was $16,000 then, when everything was working. So it's basically scrap metal in the engine right now as well.
We're thinking anything we got for it would be a bonus. It's kind of how we were going to look at it, because it's.
I kind of just talking to people. If we get three, we'd be lucky. So. It's
better than nothing.
Right, you put it towards the engine when that time comes, but it's less than 1%.
So right now you don't have any specs or anything drawn up?
We just started meeting, we got a committee together, and so far it's just I've been talking to members at conventions just to get a price range kind of set. But for now we're just going to start talking more with some vendors just to get a little more down what we would need, what kind of some of our options are. We're hoping to be back around October or so, come to look for, bring some specs to try to get approvals, and we're hoping around January maybe next year to be ordering. Probably looking over a year out from when you order on to when it arrives.
What is that now?
1993. So that's why 2018 would be 25 years old. I believe the city's portion has been putting 10,000 away. And then
so as they're putting that together, can we squeeze in another year of funding then? Do you think they want bill us till it's done?
That's kind of right. Personally, a few of us are trying to drag our feet because we don't need it right now today, so if we could get it, that's one thing we want to talk to the vendor. If it went into early 2019, we could squeeze that extra year, like you're saying. But for now, it's early on. We don't know what our options are yet.
Okay.
So how long has the fund been building? Like you said, people kind of save up anticipating for this.
A couple years,
yeah, it's been on off.
Okay.
I'd have to look, but I'll send you a copy of a breakdown of our savings. Okay. And then you can see the breakdown of the fire equipment CD. And I'll show you the breakdown of what's in there for equipment, what's in there for repairs.
It's not unusual, I was just curious.
Yeah, and then that's why we want to meet in April again to get that ironed out and see where everybody's at money-wise.
Yeah.
That's another reason we brought this up with fire boards. And kind of knew it could be a question. We'd rather have these talks now than order something and say, yeah, go do it then. Get into it.
What do you mean I got to come up with another 30,000? Yeah.
Any other questions on the engine or the township fire board stuff? No?
Oh, yeah. This is was, if anybody has any questions, I think I had it.
I think you covered it in there.
I think I did that project in right. Stuff to date, the electrical work was done. We had the fans moved, which needed to be centered in the station, but they had to get moved to the 1901 up at some point. Well, the carpet is done, the heater is in. They have miscommunication with the electrician. They're going to have them do that when they were here, but you know, miscommunicated. So we'll have to wait for the electrician back to wire up the heater.
I think the original plan was to be done by the end of March. We're still on target for that. Been a couple, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Be
in March?
End of March. Okay. And what do we got left? It's cabinets. He was back out.
Pinky.
Should be done next week.
Electrical. That's about it, right?
A little bit electrical on the radio, but that's the same one I'm doing on radios. Now all he has to do is put a converter in and have the radio. He's just going to do that when he comes out.
Yeah,
and
then
the window.
Oh yeah, the window, yep. Where the old AC unit is.
I talked to him last week. Have you heard anything?
He ordered the window.
He was ordering it, so I think it's in a week or two now.
No, I think we can hopefully get it done in mid to early March. It'd be best, but if it goes into March, I guess that would be, nice to get that portion done so we can.
Well, we can get out, even the cabinets will need to be done for us to move over. As soon as the wiring is done on the HVAC and the window is done, we can
get. And the painting, probably like to have the painting done before
you move. The painting will be done next. We have this discussion then.
Yeah, I know.
Last I got it wasn't on here. And just a reminder, we have the disaster training February 28th. I think you guys probably all got a memo or something on it. Really.
Yeah, Jeremy's got it on later in the
video. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a reminder.
Okay. Then that's all I have. Unless someone has something for me.
Maybe we got something for Chief? Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Chief, too.
We don't
want a gold statue driving on the
wall. We don't want the manual controls in there. Oh, automatic.
Probably a good idea. I've seen some of them drive.
Okay, so Old City Business, Industrial Park, Timberline Wood Products.
All right, so just kind of give you an update. SEH is kind of working on our feasibility report for the industrial park. There's a few things, kind of talk with Chris today a little bit, but we're going to have to look at ironing out the layout of the industrial park. For right now, Timberline is looking, I believe they have a purchase agreement with Donnie Dahman to purchase 3 acres. So there's kind of a sketch layout in your agenda there. So there he's looking to, you know, do his new woodworking product building, and then he's looking to do storage units. From last I've talked to Brian, his main focus now, because of the cost of acquired land, is to do the building for the wood products, and then the storage units would be added at in the future. So our main things that we have to look at, and I've been working with our engineer and our planning consultant. So one of the things we've talked about right now is kind of getting that, we have that sketch drawing, and Scotty, I'll maybe have to give you some information on that so you kind of have an idea of what we've looked at and what they're working on for layout over here. So I'll make note, make sure I do that. And, but for now, I think what we kind of want to do is get Brian going. So then we're going to have to look at future. One of the things we've looked at for the future is to get that land platted. And maybe even if we could work with Donnie to get it annexed, or at least have it platted out for future use. I don't know, what I've heard is about 25,000 an acre, so I don't think the city's going to have the funds to look at purchasing that land and annexing it in and opening an industrial park, you know, today or tomorrow. Maybe it could be long term, it could be short term, I don't know, but at least we want to get something going there and then have something for ready for the future if something does come along. And our planner will be coming to one of the next council meetings for a comp plan orientation kickoff. So this whole thing will tie into our comprehensive plan. So it's actually good timing that we have to redo our comp plan. So we'll kind of tie that all in with our comp plan too. But for now, you know, the main thing is SEH is working on the feasibility report. So I'm hoping next month they'll have that for us. We can look at costs. They're looking at, we're thinking water isn't too much of an issue, but the sewer has to come from all the way back from where the treatment plant is here and run there and over. The biggest concern we have with the sewer is the length, and then we're going to run into fall, which we're probably not going to have enough fall, so we're either going to have to put in a lift station or look at requiring Brian to put a lift pump in his building. So these are some of the things we'll have to look at and address with our engineer and planning consultant. I do have some cost estimates, so I'll email them to you, what we did, just a rough, just to do water sewer for Brian's building. I believe that was in the neighborhood of 40-some thousand for water and sewer. So that's kind of where we are now. Brian's looking to move forward. So right now he's got the purchase agreement. So probably the next steps we'll be looking at is plotting that area, or at least plotting his area and getting it annexed in. Because you'll have to have that annexed in before really we have any jurisdiction over it. So in order for him to get water and sewer, he has to be annexed into the city limits too, per ordinance. So that's kind of where we are, update there on Timberline. Chris, you want to add anything with?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is going to be, and I know last year when this came up, there was some concern as far as whether we're trying to throw a monkey wrench in the process or anything like that, but if that's truly going to be our industrial area for the next 10, 15, 20 years, we want to make sure that they're laid out there in a way that'll make it attractive for other people to want to move out there. And that, I mean, we don't want them to be put in a spot and we can't build around it. I mean, we don't want that either. And at the same token, if we're going to run water and sewer out there, we're going to want it to do it in an economical way, so that later down the road we're not tearing stuff up and doing more costs. You know, let's do it right the first time, and let's not have like we had at the hall where we got 18 different connections going in and out of the hall. Let's just have, you know, a good plan going into what the industrial park is going to be, and have a good idea what the future costs are going to be. So as we sell land or anything like that, we have an idea what our costs are going to be, and so at least maybe we can recuperate some of those for the taxpayers as well. And that's really what we want to be doing. Otherwise, if we just put it out there and let them go as it is, then, you know, we, not to say that we're going to run into that issue necessarily, but we could run into that issue. But we can't put something between where they want to go and where the industrial park starts and ends.
I realize this probably ain't etched in stone by any means, but
no.
I'm very surprised that the county is allowing all these accesses.
We were very surprised by that also.
This baffles to me. Because usually they were...
I have that email under lock and key where they said they would give us the jurisdiction on that. So
they haven't made them get a frontage road or something down the front here because...
That was probably one of the first things we brought up and probably our first concern.
Then they're going to let another road in later. You're talking about.
Well, then what we would do on the, you know, on the back side, you know, when we do that is then we would try to eliminate, hopefully work with Brian to eliminate that. And then, you'd come off where the main road would go into that industrial park area. So then that way there's only, you know, that in and out. And that one road that's going to lead in and out of industrial park versus he must have, you know, 2-3 other entries. So, and Brian said he would work with the city on that.
Yeah, I was amazed too when that email came back from the county saying, "Oh yeah, it's up to the city and how many access points." I'm like, "Really? That's not our road."
Right.
It's a county road, but I guess if we annex it in, then it does become our road. But still, I was shocked. But I think, as we move forward, we want to have one road going into that industrial park so that we can control, just from, even from a, not just from an access point, but just from a traffic standpoint. Mm-hmm. If you have four different stops along the way, not to say that we're going to have...
That line of sight, you got all those factors that come in, so.
So maybe you, did you get everybody the rough draft that we got from SCA?
That's all. I'll print it out for Scotty and drop it off, and then I'll email it to you guys.
So it's just a rough draft.
That's one that,
yeah, it's really
yeah, the one that was up
yeah, that presentation. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So yep. That's kind of what we're working off of.
Yep.
Nothing set in stone.
Nope.
Any other questions about Timberline or Industrial Park for now? LED street light replacements.
Yeah, so the... I should be hopefully getting in contact soon, kind of getting dates as when they're going to do it. Tentatively March of this year, they're looking to start replacing all the street lights to LED lights. It'll be roughly about a $30-$40 savings a month to the city. So if you see some activity, that's what they'll be going to. So as you can see with the pictures, it'll kind of be more brighter white light versus that yellow, washed out yellow look.
How long do you think it'll take to replace all of them?
I don't know. She said she would, when it gets closer that day, give me a timeline. Okay. So this is just the tentative timeline that I've received, March 2017.
Any questions? Move on to new business, NIMS training.
Yeah, so just something exciting and new for the new council members. It's called NIMS, National Incident Management System. So I kind of did a packet for each of you. So this kind of gives you an idea of NIMS. And what it is a requirement by the federal government that you be certified, ISO certified, for basically, like, if a disaster came through town, so incident management is the main thing there, which we'll kind of touch on that a little bit more, too, at the next second council meeting we're holding in February, because we're going to be doing the training with the fire department, but it's going to be focused more for kind of the officers and head officials. So a prime example of that would be, say, a tornado came through. So that way we can go through that and learn chain of command, who's going to do what you need to do, who you need to contact. So the big thing with the NIMS here is everybody has to be certified in that, council members and staff. If you're not, you risk losing money from FEMA if we ever had a natural disaster or even FEMA grants. So, and we have gotten $200,000-$300,000 in FEMA grants probably in the last 10 years. So it's a thing we don't want to get on the hook that, oh, you guys aren't certified. You get no funding. So if we ever had a disaster coming through here, it's a requirement you have to do. And you can do it online. So on the back page, you can just go online and do the testing. And it's kind of, a walkthrough online, then the test at the end. I believe, I'm trying to remember, it's been so long since, I did it in classes, but I think the online, can you go back?
Yeah.
Right? So you can kind of go back and then...
So you can...
So it's like an open book test?
Okay. You can open up the modules and keep them open, and you can open up the test. So you can go Alt-F or define the topic back in the modules.
Yeah.
Define the answer. The test's not timed, so you can take as long as you want on the test. Yeah. But it will time you out if you take too long on a particular screen. But it won't time you out of the test. The other thing too is, if you guys wanted to or had the opportunity, you guys can be together. I mean, obviously each one of you have to be logged in to be able to take the test, but you guys can, all three of you guys get together and do it, together, go through the modules, and take the test together. There's no,
no. So it'd actually be three steps, because it's 100, 200, and 700. That have to be certified in, that they require that the council be certified in 100, 200, 700.
And they build on each other. So stuff you learn in 100 applies in 200 with a little extra. Stuff you learn in 1 and 2 applies in 700 with a little extra. So some of the questions will become redundant, so some of them will be quick, just us snipe through real quick. A lot of ones you'll have to go, okay, what was that? And go back and...
Is it about an hour each?
Yeah, about that. But you can count if you do all, if you sit down to all three of them, three and a half hours probably. You know, it's not too long, but.
You know, and something we'll do too is if you're not comfortable doing it online, I don't know that they really have any classes out there, but I'll put word into the county to see if they do, and then when they're out here, I don't know if Deb is coming out. I think Deb's coming out, right? Yeah. But we can talk to her too when we have that training session if they know of any, you know, work groups or work sessions or anything close by that.
You just need that certificate then?
Yeah, they'll email it right to you.
Yeah, because Justin told me that a while ago. And
okay.
100, right?
Okay, yeah, then just email it to me and I'll put it on file. And then you can keep a copy. I'll have a copy here, so yeah.
It's not, it's just time consuming is all it is. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not like taking the ACT or SAT or anything else.
It's kind of open book, so.
Yeah. Second meeting in February.
Alright, so basically, I've done explaining our options here. We just have a motion to hold a second meeting, which we've kind of already agreed to for the training. The fire department and the county, which would be at 7. And the other thing is we have to do a comp plan orientation meeting where a planning consultant will come out and it'll kind of be a kickoff meeting as we jump into the 2040 comprehensive plan. And if you're not familiar with that, it's just basically a planning plan put together to dictate all our, you know, water, sewer needs, streets, growth, taking basically all the growth factors into account through 2040. So we have to do that orientation plan. If it works, we kind of have two options. Is we can do it at 6 o'clock on the 28th, if that works for everybody. And then we can, you said take about 45-50 minutes. And then we can jump into the training, or you can come before, the March 14th council meeting. So I guess I like to leave it open in case people have vacation or so there's options out there for the council as to what works for them.
Yeah, pretty open.
Yeah. Might as well get it done now.
Yeah, I think sooner would be better so we get going on the comp plan. So if that works for everybody, we'll plan on that.
So we need a motion though to hold the second meeting. 7 o'clock and 30
minutes. 6 o'clock.
Or 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Second.
We move in second to hold the second council meeting on February 28th at 6 o'clock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So we move to 6 o'clock.
Yep. And then what we'll do too is with that comp plan orientation, I will throw in the any update on the feasibility report as far as the industrial park area. So we'll tie that in with the comp plan too.
Do we need to have this test taken before that date or not?
I think whenever you get to it.
If you can, that'd be awesome.
But yeah. I think some of the other council members took, what, a year or two, so. Just, yeah. I would say even get it done before spring, because you never know.
A year or two, I might be gone.
Right. I guess my thing would be for spring before the severe weather kicks off, just in case.
Yeah. And then the training after that? You said that's for, that's not for everybody, that's just for the...
It'll be with the fire department.
But is that for?
It'll be all the fire department and all council and staff.
Okay, I got you.
Yep.
Yeah, so if we have a natural disaster, you will have to come into play.
Yeah. All right. you can't.
Can't opt out.
Can't run out of town like Greg said he was gonna.
All right, Jaguar Communications.
All right, so what I got there is just. A little bit of an update. We're looking to, so I got two things with Jaguar. Kind of working with them right now to get them come in and to do the rest of the town. They did Norwood last year. So they're kind of looking to do, and if I remember right, I talked to Luann and they weren't going to do Mayor.
Really?
Yeah, at this time. But they're looking to do us in New Germany right now. So that's kind of tentatively, nothing in stone yet, but that's what they're looking to do, to come in and do the town. So then you'll have be able to run off the fiber line. So then they'll provide phone, TV, you know, and internet. I think it's, yeah. So it'd be nice. And that would be up to, I believe it's 75 up and download speeds, 75 megs. So that would be nice.
Yeah.
So still working with them to get them in here and do that. And I keep telling them, you know, you guys said you were going to start with us first, so I keep reminding them of that. They started in Norwood. The other thing is just, if anybody has any objections, just looking for approval for their right-of-way there. So basically what they're looking to do is basically carry over the fiber line from Park Avenue there to William Miller's and Sons. So William Miller's is looking to get connected onto that line. I know we did that too, and it's a significant cost savings. We save 50% on our phones. So we've been with them
the 2 years now, almost ready,
and pretty close to two, and had no issues. So really, what I'm just looking to approve that use in the right of way.
Do you have a motion?
A motion to approve the right of way to Miller and Sons.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the right of way application for Jaguar Communications. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
All right. So
see the others.
Last thing, new city business. I guess technically it could be old. New contract. Looking at, mosquito control. So we got a few options here. We have 9 applications at $272 per application at $24.48. 11 applications at $265.50 per application for $29.20.50. Or we can do 15 applications at $255 per application at $38.25. But $38 is about our budget for. We kind of combine mosquito and animal control together. And it really depends on how many stray dogs there are, so that fluctuates. But also, we would approve this. We pay by April 1st. We get a 3% discount also if we pay in full. We have the option to extend it to the 2017 through 2019 season, not to exceed 3%. Over the price of the previous years.
How many applications did we do last year?
We typically have done the 8, 9, but then last year we did one extra.
Yeah, we did one extra.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we do 9, they'll start spraying in June?
Usually they start in May. Yep.
We
tell them when they spray, or do they come in?
They come in and dictate that, and it's because we went through former members. Well, Chris is the only former, but we went through that rigmarole because they used to come on Thursday night, and that was perfect. You know, it was kind of nice, but now they, I don't know, must have a few more contracts that they filled, so we've gotten bumped to Tuesday nights. If we want to get to Thursday, it's more. And really, after we discussed it, it's a crapshoot when you spray anyways.
Right, yeah.
You know, depending on weather factors, did it rain, is it dry, I mean, so.
Well, I'm trying to think here now. We've got the state baseball tournament here this year.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a little extra spray.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking. We'd probably go to 11, so that way we can spray, add two more weeks for the tournament, and if, depending on how they are too, we can add it for later in the season, because we know last year it went quite late. They were bad, right, even when we were done spraying. And
so that might be something we should think about.
So that 11 is bi-weekly, and then we just have two extras that we can throw away with?
Yeah.
Can't you get
them out at all? See, yeah, they would come out, and typically I could get them out to do one spraying or one treatment. Yeah. And usually what we did is we had them come out kind of around Summerfest. But what we could do is probably try to work with them to come out for the baseball tournament.
Well, I know at the baseball park, I don't know what formula they use, but I know that they have a spray that they put down on the field, which I remember one evening we were down there and they sprayed the field, and it was like they just disappeared. I don't know what they use necessarily.
It kills them on contact.
Yeah, that's just...
So really what they don't eliminate them, they tried to go when the mosquitoes are out, so they kind of delete the population, so to say.
And so if we did the 11 week, that's within our budget, provided we don't have a lot of stray dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I got a fencer on my dog, so I have to worry about that.
Does that include stray pigs?
Whatever animal.
Tip-ass bullet ain't fussy. We had a coyote in town the other morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, come right down, put a duck pond right across the...
I'd be quite comfortable because we'd be looking at $29.20 plus a 3% discount. We have $34.50 in there for animal and mosquito control, so I think we'd be fine with that.
Somebody like to make a motion?
I motion.
And then before we make that, you want to do 17 or do you want to lock it in through 19? That's the other thing.
We lock it into 19, then it stays the same.
And then it's 3, well, can't exceed 3%. Right.
I think we should do that.
Yeah, they're not going to go away, mosquitoes.
No. Yeah, mosquitoes ain't going to go away. They're going to all high expected goal.
Right.
Insecticides in that.
Yeah.
Pesticides.
Councilman Buckley, I think you were making a motion.
I make a motion for 11 weeks in bi-weekly treatments for 2017 and 2018.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moving seconded to approve some mosquito control contract with Clark Environmental for seasons 2017 to 2019 for 11 applications. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. I think that's the quickest we've just made a decision on mosquito control.
Well, last time was because of the days.
We got the money and Jeremy's got
budgeted.
Got it budgeted. There's really, what is the decision?
Right.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any new business for the city? If not, we'll move into council report. There you got anything you need or?
Just entertainment.
Okay.
Slow night on the TV or slow night on the TV or okay, we'll move into council reports. Councilman Buckington. Councilman Tracy. Travis is out. Councilman Fulton.
I talked to Jeremy a little bit the other day. he's on board and we're in agreement, I think something we should think about, we've got to get some of this junk around town cleaned up.
Yeah.
And just redoing the ordinances, what we got to do is get a, let's look into it, let's get this place cleaned up a little bit, because some of these people, they shouldn't have to look out their back door and have to see half of this junk. I mean, you got trailers and you got mud trucks and you got snowmobiles and boats, and I mean, I'm not denying anybody having any of that stuff, but keep it someplace where it's not making an eyesore of everybody else's property.
Yeah. Yep. Was there an ordinance or something? You can only have so many vehicles?
Yes. You have to have so many parking spots. And, yeah. Yep. So one thing we want to do is, we kind of talked about this last year already, is the problem we ran into is we send out letters, and the way our ordinance is set up is it has to be certified or posted, so we contract out with the community service officer, so we use them for that, because certified mail is ridiculous now. But the problem we run into, some people take care of it, and then the ones that don't, in order to enforce it, we have to go basically before an administrative law judge and get an administrative search warrant. So it almost seems like we almost got to create an act of God to get something done. So what we want to do is look at the ordinance, maybe simplify that, give us more power and authority than having to go through, having to get a, you know, administrative search warrant. But yet I have to look into the legality of that. So I've gotten some contacts with the League of Minnesota Cities. So I'll be running it by them too, and I'll have them involved, and they can help us, you know, go through the codification process there. You know, we want to be able to put teeth in it, so we have something basically in there. We don't have to get a search warrant. We just say, first letter, you get a pass. Don't do it by the letter. $50, $100, $200, whatever we want to set it at. Start finding people. We got to put some teeth into it so people take care of it. It's very similar to like with the water bills. You know, if we don't shut people off, so they'll just never pay. Yeah, we can sit and certify, you know, to the taxes, but the problem you have with that is we need the cash flow. We can't afford to be certifying $20,000-$30,000 to the county for collection. When? Who knows?
Exactly.
You know, we have bills to pay too, so that's kind of why we follow that process. You know, if you don't have water, then you're more likely to pay. If you get a fine, you're probably more likely to clean it up.
Well, let's see what you can find out before the next council meeting.
Sure.
And hopefully you have enough information, and then Councilman Feltman, if you want to be part of that review, and then if another council member wants to be part of that review, then set up a meeting and review it, and then we can move on.
We can do that.
We also review the water billing.
Yes, definitely.
Not to the renter, but to the owners.
Yep. And any other things you would like to address in town? I think the other thing we talked about was drones. So we may want to look at that too, because they're out there, they're coming, and they're just going to get more and more popular. So a lot of cities are starting to adopt drone ordinances. So, you know.
Is there a statewide ordinance for that?
I don't know.
There's
a
FAA ordinance,
yeah,
regulation as far as how big and how high and what licenses you need to go to the size of drones.
400 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, our concern is just, you know, okay, I wonder what Scotty's doing today, you know, privacy, you know, that invasion issue. So that's what we want to address.
Well, that's really my point, because this fall, not to get off the subject, but I was working there at the pit, and the company used these drones to measure piles. I mean, it's amazing. We used to have to crawl them and GPS them or measure them with a tape and all this stuff. But here this drone, I'm working way up on the highest part of it, looking over the whole dang pit, you know, and sitting there, and it was kind of a nice day, but I had my window cracked open about that far, the heater on, nice and comfortable, just throwing dirt, and I could hear this buzzing. What the hell is going on with this machine? I never heard this before. I turned my head and I looked out the window, and I swear, he was about this far away from me, just looking right at me with the camera.
Yeah.
And I was about ready to just...
Yeah.
Their bosses were checking up on me. They're all standing about half a mile away.
Yeah. Right. So, see what you can find out, but let's tackle the
public nuisance
first, and then we can start tackling the other ones as they come through.
Yeah, because it's going to be that time soon, too, where, you know, spring comes early here, we're going to want to get on it.
Another question I got, Jeremy. Yes. That street, Central Street, I mean, we need to probably take a look at doing something.
Yep.
I kind of talked to Brad and Corey a little bit. And do we have a cap on quote if we just did that street? We don't need to get an engineer involved.
No,
Not going to be tiling it.
Right.
It's got a good base. I built them streets. I know exactly what's there.
Yeah, we could probably get an estimate from them and then see what we have in the budget. Yeah, because I noticed that yesterday when I brought the agenda,
really
looking at the street going, man, this is worse than an alligator. That is bad.
And if you notice that it's just as far as the garbage truck backs up all the time.
Yeah.
The rest of the street ain't nothing. It's just all busted up.
Yep.
Right in the garbage truck.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe that street, if we can get it done this year, we should maybe.
Okay.
Kind of what we can do.
I'm just thinking we just strip the blacktop off and reshape it and put mix down. Because it's all that it is. It's not that the base is not bad or anything.
So just quick mill and overlay.
The blacktop is wore off. The oil has gone out of its dry out and it's cracked. And the longer we leave it, the more water is going to get down there.
Yeah, and then it's going to wreck your base.
And then we're
yeah, and it's costly. It's very costly. Yeah, and I want to look at that too, because I want to look at the street plan to see why where that's addressed in the street plan, street management plan, because it didn't seem like that was higher priority than Jacob Street here, but when you look at it, that area there in Central needs it bad. It's alligatored in small sections too. It's not. It's.
I mean, Maria is in pretty decent shape. That'll go for a few years if we need to, but. Central needs, we need to do something.
I'm surprised the plow hasn't killed some of that up.
I'm pretty gingerly when I plow. I usually do it with the motor.
Yeah, you can tell because I was surprised that it wasn't.
I pretty gingerly when I plow that one.
Well, yeah, check into that.
Yep.
Anything else? The only thing I have, I attended the Southwest Corridor Transit Coalition meeting the other week. You all should have this in your packet. It's a resolution that they wanted to pass, but they wanted the coalition to give their endorsement behind. Basically, what they're looking to do is they're looking to increase the sales tax in Carver County by 0.5% in that. And the idea behind it is that the money would go into a fund that would help with major road projects. Right now, a lot of your federal dollars, in order to get major road projects, you have to have some type of matching funds, whether it's dollar to dollar or 20% or whatever that might be. Carver County just hasn't put the funds away, I guess. And so this is a way that some counties are doing it. There's other counties outside of the metro area that have already done something very similar to this. At the meeting, the group decided to table it for the next meeting, mainly because there were a number of people there, myself included, that wanted to bring it back to the council and get some people's thoughts on what their thinking was behind it. I believe Commissioner Ishii and the engineer
Linden
will be coming up at our March meeting to talk about this.
Yep.
So this is more of an FYI tonight. Take a look at it, mull it over. The one thing that they didn't have in this here, which was the point that I brought up, because I said, I just raised the question, this money that we're going to be taxing Carver County and anybody that comes through Carver County, is this money just going to go in the general fund or is this go actually into a lock and box kind of fund? And they said by statute it has to go into a lock and box style fund or an enterprise fund.
It can't be used for nothing.
Nothing else. I said, well, I go, that's great, but it doesn't say that in this resolution. I said, so if you could rewrite the resolution so my 530 residents can see that it's in the resolution, I would feel more comfortable than endorsing something like that, especially if it's going to be used. Much like how when we put that $8 on the water bill to go for the water tower, I mean, the discussion at that point in time was increasing water rates. Well, we all knew, the five of us sitting here and the city staff knew that extra dollars that if we were to increase this water rates was going to go for the water tower. But future councils might not know that, so that money would get spent differently. So that's the reason, the user fee, and then that's, you know, if we're going to put it someplace that's going to be earmarked for it, okay. those kind of increases I can stomach personally. But if you're just going to increase something that's going to go in the general budget and we lose sight of it.
Yeah, and it's not being allocated to the proper.
We didn't gain a whole lot, did we?
No.
Did they touch base on the wheelage tax? Were they increasing that?
That's going to be part of this conversation. So there is a conversation around there that a $10 wheelage tax would be applied to all of our vehicles. And
is
that
it
money,
five right now? And then they were going to double it?
I don't know what the current one is. It's either five or eight. I don't know what it is. But it'll go same thing. It'll be money that will kind of kick in to that. I know there's a bill in front of the state legislature that's looking at it from a statewide situation too. So
yeah.
My thought is, okay, if the county goes 10 and the state goes 10, does that mean we go from 5 to 25?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, you know, I don't know. Outstate is doing it already. They're already putting a wheelage tax on. Some people have got higher than $10.
And also with that, they're looking to do small cities assistance monies, which would be kind of like our local government aid. So we would get funding from the state for, it would have to be same concept, specialized for streets. So that's in discussion with legislation right now too, so that'd be a nice little boost too. I mean, it probably ain't gonna be much more than, you know, what did we get last time? $11,000. That's not a big chunk, but you know, every little bit helps.
Then the only last thing I have is I'm still trying to work to find a time to go down to the Capitol, meet with Representative Nash and Senator Jensen to talk about our water tower and some funding before we get out of session.
Yeah.
Once I get that date set, yeah. I'll let Jeremy know so you can let everybody else know. And if anybody else wants to go down with me,
yeah. I'll go with you.
More
sure.
Squeaky wheels,
right.
You know, yep. Works out better. And we can maybe see if we can find some funding, some way to offset a portion of the cost. I mean, I'm not looking at we're gonna. I'm not naive enough to think
see if
we're
I can
get
find,
all of it.
I can see if I can find some pictures of a wooden water tower or something that
yeah.
We can bring down there and show them.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
I got some
That's all I had. And if nobody else got anything else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned at 7:56.